You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Well, welcome everyone to 1 Million Cups. This is our first 1 Million Cups Appleton of 2021. Really excited to be here. Guys, I don't know if you've, you know, how your 2020 ended up landing, but I'll tell you this, I've never been more confident about the cool things that are being built in the Fox Cities and the startups and different entrepreneurs and business people doing some really sweet stuff. In 2020, I think it just allowed me at least to have some time to sit back and look at it. It's really promising. There's a lot of really cool things going on. So I hope you all feel the same way, but I'm really excited to be in a new year here. And today we have a presenter from Appleton with a really cool business that I'll let James get into. But as just a quick reminder, you know, 1 Million Cups Appleton is a weekly celebration of and conversation for entrepreneurs to join. We feature a startup every week. We listen to their story, their journey, and then we ask follow-up questions and figure out if there's any way we can give them a helping hand in their entrepreneurial journey. So really excited to kick off 2021 with Edficiency and James Bacon. James, take it away.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Also excited to be here today. Thank you for having me. Kick off the 2021 season and year. Hopefully it will be a year that starts to, continue to improve, I guess, on where we've been. But I, like Andrew said, am James Bacon. I'm head of outreach and operations with Edficiency, and excited to tell you a little bit about my background and, you know, then what I'm doing now with Edficiency, and then open it up to questions. So to share a little bit about my background, you know, just briefly. So I've been in education for my entire career, well over a decade now. I originally taught in a small district in Arkansas through Teach for America. It was called Lakeside. The town was about 2,500 people, so pretty small. I then, after that, worked with Teach for America, coaching teachers in a variety of places for a little bit in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then also in Mississippi with Greenville Public Schools before starting a Teach for America region in Madison Parish, Louisiana, and growing that to kind of expand in Northeast Louisiana. But that is when my wife and I decided, after launching that region, to quit our jobs and spend some time traveling and working abroad, where I was fortunate enough to do some consulting with Teach for Bangladesh. I also got to build, near rubble and then rebuild schools and homes through all hands in Nepal after the earthquake back in 2015. Came back and worked through Education First with a program with kids from around the world coming to the U.S. for cultural exchange and language learning. But that's also when I decided to go back and get my master's degree at the University of Pennsylvania in education entrepreneurship. And then I oversaw hiring for a couple years in Boston Public Schools before moving here to the Fox Valley, because my wife grew up in Oshkosh and we were trying to get closer to home as we had a family, which is actually what connected me with Edficiency, because this guy, Joe Connolly, is actually my brother-in-law, and he was teaching in New London at the high school, physics and chemistry, where he was, you know, on the committee that was thinking about how do we better support our students. And they had this idea of an advisory time where teachers would see the same group of kids every day at the same time for non-academic reasons, or rather, you know, for kind of general reasons to build relationships, see how they're doing across all their subjects and not actually teach them a subject during that time. But at the end of the year, if they were thinking about how it was going, you know, they basically decided they wanted to do something more intentional with that time. And Joe had walked out of that meeting essentially committing himself to use his summer break teaching himself to code and building a platform that would help them operate this time more effectively, which I'll talk more about in just a second. And so to start a little bit more clearly with the problem, you know, I don't know how familiar all of you are with education, but I will assume all of you at least went to school yourselves, even if you since then have not been super involved in the education world. And so, as you know, maybe makes sense to you, one of the biggest problems schools face is time, having enough of it. It's the most valuable resource that they do have. And it's also one of the most difficult to manage. You know, schools often use time where kids at the same time every day go to the same place with the same group of kids and all get the same lesson, which I think probably is something all of you are familiar with. You know, some of you might have been fortunate enough to think about or have a school that thought about, you know, how do we rethink time somewhat back when we were growing up and had something called a study hall. You know, in fact, how many people on the call had a study hall or something like that when they were in school at some point? Okay, so it looks like most people. Perfect. I don't know about you, but most people I talk to that had a study hall normally refer to the time as time where they just had to be quiet and they really could do whatever they wanted to do. So the most productive kids would maybe get some homework done or work on something. And otherwise, they'd kind of just like goof off and spend time, you know, staring at something and writing notes to friends, something that probably wasn't the best use of their actual time. And so a lot of schools today are rethinking how to build back into their schedule a time maybe like a study hall, but that is more intentional, or repurposing their study hall in that way. And so normally what schools call this time now is a flex period. It's also called intervention blocks or what I need time. There's a lot of names for it. But in case you're unfamiliar with it, the basic idea is you have a schedule like on the left where kids go to the same place, you know, for math and English and science and all their subjects throughout the day. But schools maybe that don't have something like this will take some time away from those, just a minute or two here and there, put it into the schedule intentionally somewhere else, where they can then start to have teachers and kids spend more time with each other based on specific needs. And so an example of like how this is really helpful is maybe let's say you have Johnny who's struggling in math. Well, he maybe needs some more time, but there's 20 other kids in that class that maybe don't need more time on the specific things that Johnny needs. And then maybe Johnny's math teacher realizes in all of his other classes, there's a handful of kids in each that also need what Johnny needs. Well, now, instead of trying to meet Johnny and his peers that struggle in the same things needs spread out through all periods of the day with 17, 18 other kids in the room that don't need that, he brings them all together during this flex period at one time to meet all their needs at the same time, instead of trying to waste other kids' times or having to move on and not give them that support because they don't have the time anymore. And so you'll notice that I still have this titled as the problem, though, even though it seems like we're thinking about it from a solution standpoint, and that's true. But the reason is, if you think about it, in schools that have hundreds of kids and dozens of teachers, if not hundreds of teachers even in some cases, managing this process is a logistical nightmare. And schools do not have capacity and time to do that, especially to do it well and to meet the full intention of what they're hoping to get out of this time that they've been dedicated during the day. And so that is where Edficiency comes in. So we are an online scheduling tool that helps teachers and schools automate and simplify their flex period logistics so they get more time with kids that need it most and don't have to spend all their time trying to focus on logistics or manage herds of kids going unaccounted, roaming the building and trying to go into classrooms, which is, to be honest, what ends up happening in a lot of these cases when they don't have strong systems in place to manage the process. So I won't go into crazy detail about how it works, but to give you a little bit more clarity on like what we actually do, we basically have a platform where people log in, whether you're a teacher, administrator, or student. Teachers or administrators can create sessions during this time for whatever they want to. So it could be on any topic. It could be, you know, a remediation session on a specific, standard kids really struggled with. It could be, you know, a club could meet during this time so kids can be more involved in school. It could also be on a topic that you know a lot of your kids are interested in that you just don't have time to cover in class. And so now kids that want to come can go deeper into a subject that they're interested in. Teachers can set this up where only certain kids are able to come based on any criteria they set. They can also request groups of kids at that time. But once they create those sessions, kids can start to see it and sign up and request to see a teacher on any given day for any given reason. And teachers and students can request each other at 8 different priority levels so that the system knows what is most important and can make sure, like I mentioned before, kids are where they're most needed. And so then every night at midnight, our system will stop taking requests for the next day and it will assign kids based in priority order and to a teacher. It'll then email them with where they're supposed to go, whether that's now even a virtual classroom or an in-person classroom in this new world. And teachers log in and see their entire, list of kids they're supposed to see, and both can pass notes through the system. So they have a heads up for why, the kid wanted to see you as a teacher, or you can tell a kid like, hey, bring your notes on this because we're going to talk about this today. And that's why I want you to see you. And so a couple things that just make us different from any of the other options that schools might try to tackle this problem with. We are the only option out there that automates the process. So we will make sure every single kid is accounted for every single day, even if no teacher needed to see them specifically and they didn't say they needed to see anyone either. We will make sure they're matched with the teacher they know when at all possible. It's also intelligent. So like I mentioned, it uses priorities to make sure kids are where they're most needed. And I can go into that in the Q&A if that's something that some people want to jump into. But it also remembers things on behalf of teachers. So like if a kid's absent, the system knows that you didn't get to see the kid. And if you wanted to see them as soon as possible over any day this week, it'll get the kid to you tomorrow when they're back in school. And then lastly, it's flexible, which is, I think, one of the biggest value adds. Because like I mentioned, it waits till midnight the night before to assign kids. And so if Johnny is struggling on homework that night for his physics class, he has until midnight to go in and request to see his physics teacher as quickly as tomorrow to get help on that homework during this flex time. So he doesn't have to waste class time doing it. Similarly, a teacher could maybe say, I had, like I mentioned earlier, 10 kids, but they were spread out across all my different classes that struggled on today's lesson. Well, now I can bring all 10 kids as quickly as tomorrow into my room, so that I can really address their needs, so they don't get behind by having to wait until next week or after school to come see me, and then a lot of them won't be able to make it. And so we really pride ourselves on being helpful to schools, and we know that if we're not easy to use, it's not going to be a value add to schools. And so we really pride ourselves on the fact that schools do find us easy to use and that we save them time, which, like I said, is our opinion of their most invaluable resource. But at the end of the day, I think what really we're excited about is that we get to help them take the burden of logistics off, where they can really think strategically about how they're supporting kids and doing what they do best every single day with the kids that actually need it, so they can improve student achievement and give kids more opportunities. And so, like I mentioned earlier, we started out here in Wisconsin, the Fox Valley, grew organically mostly throughout the state, a little bit throughout the Midwest, mostly in Minnesota and Nebraska early on. But now we have a presence across the country in the last 2 years and are really seeing a lot of growth, especially in states like Texas, Utah, and California out west, but still hopefully trying to continue expanding into more states across the country as we continue to think about growing and letting more schools know that we exist and how we could possibly help them. So with that, I will turn it over to Q&A. To see if anyone wants to go deeper into anything. I know I kind of hit you with a lot relatively quickly, but happy to take any questions about anything that is on your mind, if you have anything. And if not, then no big deal.
Hey, thanks, James, for your presentation today. It's awesome. I learned stuff about what you guys do, so I think that's really cool. Are there any questions from anyone? There always are questions. Eric?
I'm curious. So you talked about the intelligence that this system has to does it look for weaknesses in students? Like, does it have like score results loaded into it or something that it can look and see and identify, like it appears a student is struggling with this specific thing and notifies the teacher that is a struggle? Or
Yeah, that's a great question. So the short answer is it doesn't do that. We have that kind of conversation, but our philosophy is that teachers already have millions of data points on kids already because of everything they do. And like in the classroom, like they see the kids' work on hand. You can't really quantify that. I mean, you certainly do it in other ways that they already have readily available with, like their grades and, showing their work or, anything like that. So we make it as easy as possible for teachers to kind of tag kids if they believe they're at risk. So the system will then do some automating in the background and say, like, if the kid's available and you didn't specifically request them, we'll give them to you more frequently because we know that you've told us that kid is at risk right now and you'd like to see them as much as possible. But we basically take the philosophy that teachers have the right data points and we don't want technology to make those decisions for them. They're the right decision makers. Let's just make those things easy for them to act on. And so that is the real value adder on like the intelligence side of things that our software does provide.
Interesting. All right, Andrew, it's your turn for a question.
I got questions. What, James, I mean, so where was the company when you started working with efficiency, and like what kind of growth have you seen over the course? I'm curious to know, because you, when you started, it was a lot smaller. You've been a key factor in it growing, and I believe I'm remembering that from our previous conversations, one-on-one conversations. But in combination with that question, I'm interested in knowing, like, scaling things is like every entrepreneur's dream, right? So, like, yep. Is there any lesson or thing that you've learned, you know, that has been a key contributor to the growth of your company?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of different ways you could think about growth. You know, I mean, like, we, you know, think about it from, like, number of schools, number of students we serve, you know, because, like, those things aren't always, you know, one-to-one correlated together. I mean, well, they're correlated, but it's not like, you know, for every school we had served in the same increment number of students, for instance. But I would say that, like, you know, we've seen since I've come on board in the last 2 years, like starting to do more intentional outreach, especially a more nationwide scale. You know, we were in, I think, 3 states when I came on board, and now we're in 10. And we've also seen that once we can, you know, get into a, you know, a community, like think about like a, you know, metro area, if you will, I guess, as maybe thinking about like a community, that generally things start to spread naturally from there, even beyond any intentional and like direct outreach or advertising and marketing and so forth. And so, so for instance, actually I have like this, so you can see like how we think about customer acquisition. And so early on, and that's still why it's like probably even a little bit heavier too, but you know, almost half of our, you know, new schools that come aboard, come from things like, you know, specific referrals or, you know, spreading within a district. Once we have one school that brings us in, other schools, you know, say, oh, that would be helpful for us too, or we should start thinking about this model, even if we don't have it yet. And then they see us as like something that's going to help them do it. Because most of the time they don't do it because they only see the challenges that exist to helping them or to getting there and don't know that there's something like us that helps them. Or even just kind of like general word of mouth, which is like the third one down, where people don't know exactly who told them and it wasn't like a specific referral, but they've just heard enough people chattering about it through the grapevine that they then find us. But so then that was like 90%-ish when I came on board. And then now we've built out to be about 50% where, you know, doing direct outreach and targeted outreach based on, you know, different criteria, or going to conferences that, you know, we know schools are going to be in attendance that might be interested in us, or even like social media advertising, and so forth. Or like, you know, like the website and trying to like use like lead magnets and stuff like that as well. So I think in general, though, like what we've thought about and what I've done is, kind of tried to take a sample of a lot of different metro areas across the country to see where this type of schedule is already relatively popular, and then started trying to specifically do outreach and advertising in those areas, knowing that there's likely going to be a lot of community spread once we can break in.
Nice. Yeah, cool.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, that does answer my question. How did you pull together these numbers? Like, are you manually looking at your customers and figuring out like where do they come from? Because like this kind of data that we're looking at right now is, again, like, you know, something even at Proceed, you know, I wish I don't think it's at a Proceed thing. I think it's every startup wish they had a clearer indicator of like where do your customers come from. So how did you capture this information? I'm curious.
Yeah, so it wasn't being tracked, at least like in a structured way, I'll say, like before I came on board. But that was one thing I wanted to do to understand like how to know where to spend our time, or my time specifically. And so, you know, I basically asked Joe to like sit with me and kind of go through all our different schools as best as he could and at least like tell me where they came from. And that's why we still have some that are kind of in that unknown, because he's like, I honestly just don't remember. Like, it was a haze, right? Like, I was just trying to get out there and do it, and I just don't know with like enough certainty to tell you. And that'll kind of always be the case. It'll just become a smaller percentage over time, hopefully. but now we've tried to build in some different like tagging, you know, ways that I kind of have built into whenever I start talking to people that are interested, where I kind of tag them based on what I know. And then we also ask them like for their own opinion of it when they officially come on board and give us their information that is required to like start the actual process of connecting our work together. It's like your order form essentially. And so basically that's when I like decide the official tag based on what they put in and, or maybe what I knew about them before, if those things like don't jive 100%, but normally they do.
Is there any other questions?
Yeah, I just had a question. You know, thanks James for your great presentation. I mean, what a great system. I was just curious that, you know, with all of these, you know, school districts going between hybrid and in person and all of that, I mean, have you had to do, you know, make any tweaks or adjustments, or have you found any challenges, you know, with your system, you know, trying to deal with these schedule changes? You know, I mean,
that is a great question, like... Michael. Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, COVID certainly has affected all of us in a lot of ways. And I think all of you, I'm sure, at least have heard a little bit about the craziness with what it's done to our education system, right? You know, we've got a lot of different states and communities tackling this differently, and a lot that have, you know, last semester, or I guess, you know, spring of 2020, like shut down school almost entirely, you know, and done kind of like an optional model, and then gone back and forth between remote and in person. And so what we did is we tried to just kind of, you know, take a back seat and listen and support our schools that we were already working with however we could. We kind of didn't really do much outreach, knowing it wasn't really the right time back in spring of 2020, but just trying to like listen and know what was going on to figure out ways that we could tweak the system, because we didn't, you know, deal with anything but in-person scheduling before COVID happened. But as remote learning became so much more common, we built in the functionality to accommodate these flexible intervention schedules in remote contexts. And that, you know, made us question some things about, you know, not just the way the code works, but even like our philosophy and certain things that had been, you know, unnegotiable truths before, like every kid has to be accounted for during this time because you can't have kids unaccounted for in a school building. But some schools might choose to have kids unaccounted for in a virtual world because they can just work independently at their house instead of like needing to be in a, you know, virtual classroom during that time. So we did build out a lot of functionality throughout the summer, which I think has been helpful. And a lot of schools have then been able to continue using us and rethink their strategy as they've been able to be more proactive in a virtual strategy than reactive like they were last spring. And I think a lot of our work has shifted, especially my work has shifted from, you know, some consulting and knowledge building and skill building beyond just the training of our software, which we do for every customer. But a lot of it has shifted now to say, like, we work with schools around the country that are tackling this issue from similar and different vantage points. So I think a lot of schools and districts find value in kind of thinking of us as almost consultants around this time too, to say like, what are you seeing other schools do? Here's what we're thinking. How could we maybe approach this? Or what do you know that we might not know yet? And how we could, you know, accomplish this. And then it's a lot more kind of like dialogue. And then to your point, even, you know, hey, remember when we talked last week and that was the plan? Well, now it's different and we need you again. And then like, it's, you know, constantly going back and forth and supporting schools just through the challenges that come with the ever changing landscape.
Okay. James, do you, can you talk about like the team? I mean, is it literally you and one other dude, your brother-in-law? Or like, just talk about how this machine runs.
Yeah. So it's a really large team now. It's my brother-in-law and myself. It's just the two of us. So basically the distribution is that, you know, I mean, like big picture, like he does most of the technical stuff. And then I do most of the, you know, like more business side of stuff. So like outreach and customer support and stuff like that. You know, I would say like I can do most troubleshooting from like a, you know, if it's like learning the system and, you know, like occasionally I might need something from Joe on the back end that I just like don't have access to or don't know how to find, like, you know, deep in the weeds of the code or something, that I'd like need support from him. And occasionally if it's like super technical stuff, like he would jump in. But mostly, yeah, he does kind of like the site creation, because every school, we take data privacy really seriously. So, you know, he does all of that side of things, and every school has their own protected individual site, even within a district, so that if one school, you know, knock on wood, it won't happen, but ever were compromised from a privacy standpoint, like the whole district isn't, at least, even for the districts that have many schools that use us. So, but yeah, so it's just the two of us. You know, we both do, like, if we go to conferences again at any point, which we obviously haven't in the last year now, but we did some of that right before COVID hit. And so it wasn't uncommon that, like, both of us would go, especially if, like, it was a bigger conference, you know, because it's just the two of us. But yeah, so otherwise that's our team.
How do you do support and stuff? I mean, it seems like, I mean, do you guys have plans to expand? I mean, you know, as you grow, it's like there's other things, and it's just really impressive that you guys have been able to stick to just two people.
Yeah. So,
or
I mean,
like
I think
24 hours a day or like
36 hours a day, Andrew. Yeah. We're really efficient. So, I mean, I will say that, like, I think Joe and I both come from a mindset, you know, that's like in the name, like we believe in efficiency and, you know, like that's what we try to help schools do, but we believe in that ourselves. And so, Joe was in the military, back before deciding to go into education and teach. And so he has a lot of experience from, like, you know, database management and like systems, and especially when it's like thinking about like information systems. And so I think he's built like a really efficient system from that side of things. And then I, having started and kind of like run a lot of different kinds of systems from the business side, also have just tried to think about ways we can really systemize things to be efficient from that point. And so I think our, you know, experience and our mindsets overlap, and our skills both overlap and in different areas in a way that I think is helpful from that. But, you know, we have like video resources. So it's like really easy for schools to kind of roll out like a train the trainer model. Like we train some admin and we've systemized that since I've come on board. So, we give like a handful of leadership in every building, like a lot of really good tools to do it, and know the system well and learn it well, where they can kind of be that first line of defense for their staff. But we also have, you know, like 26, 28 minutes of video tutorials that are plug and play and like on demand learning for schools. Whenever they need to know how to do something, they can just go watch it be done in a 1 to 3 minute video, you know, which I think helps a lot. And so it's really more just responding to new schools most of the time, that, you know, just are still learning kind of like the intricacies of the way the system thinks for them on the back end to solve their logistics. Cause they'll say, like, you know, I did X and I got Y, but I expected Z. And then, you know, you're like, oh, well, let me look at it and talk you through it. And now you know the logic that led to that, or what you did that maybe caused that unintended outcome for you. And then now they know moving forward how to find that if it happens again and keep it from happening. And
yeah,
most of our schools, once they come on board, don't need us after the first few months. Like, they're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, what it tells me from someone in software is that you've built a system that doesn't require a lot of hand-holding. And, like, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, the fact that you can be in 10 states and not be on the phone all the time and be able to do a 1 million cups presentation as a two-person company and not have support calls, like, ringing in all the time, it's pretty remarkable, and that's like a huge achievement. So good on you guys.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I'll praise James Bacon all day. So if there's anyone else here that has any comments or questions, please feel free to chime in.
James, I'm curious. Do you have like a long term goal? Do you want to keep this business as just you and your, what did you say, stepbrother, brother-in-law?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to keep it to that size, or do you want to grow this to the point where you have regional offices in every state and, you know, just try to be in every school in the country or something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think like our current thoughts are that, you know, like we want to grow relatively rapidly for a while, to get to a point where, you know, it seems, you know, like I just mentioned, it's still sustainable for it to be likely just the two of us, or maybe like a little bit of additional like help, and we grow some in that way too. But you know, I think it kind of just depends. Like, we're always thinking about other ways we could help schools, and whether that's like we start to think of the efficiency umbrella. And now we, this is like what we currently are talking about, this is like a product under that umbrella, and then we grow in that way. Or it's like, you know, this kind of just is that thing we have almost kind of like automated, where we can, you know, have some peaks and valleys, obviously, of like really needing to spend a ton of time on it. Because we do care about, no matter what happens, always giving our customers impeccable customer support and being really quick to respond, knowing that, you know, if they don't get a quick response, it's harder for schools to, you know, do what they're doing every day. You know, so I think we're open to shifting that, but I don't think that right now we're thinking about making it like that, especially like a model like you described, where it's like we have regional offices like and all over the place or anything like that at the moment. But you know, who knows? We'll see where things go in the future, and we're always open to changing that, I guess, that opinion that we currently have.
And based on what you told me, it sounds like this is kind of where education is going and is not there at all right now. So when you go to a school and show them this service, is it getting in front of the school, and once they see it, they're like, oh yeah, we totally need this? Or is it very challenging to get them to see what the value of it is, because it is, I would say, very ahead of its where the education system is at right now?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I mean, like in the research that I've done, like having a period like this in middle or high school, which is like the grades that we focus on, because elementary school, as you know, normally is more self-contained. And so this scheduling, you just think of scheduling very differently at that level. We're thinking about ways to support that, but we just don't currently. Like in a lot of places, like 2/3 and even maybe a little more of schools have periods like this already. On average, it's about 50-50, from like most of the communities that I've looked at. And so for schools like that, I would say, you know, like at least using a data point, like, so if I can get a school to get on a demo with me where they actually like see what we do and don't just kind of like maybe have like a sense of it. Normally, if I can like have a conversation where they understand it at least enough, then they will want to get a demo. But, right now about 50% of schools that see what we do that have a need immediately or are thinking about building a period like this do move forward and become partners with us. You know, so I think that like once they get to that point, yes, that's true. But I will say that like school leaders are really busy, as you might imagine. Like time, like I mentioned, is like one of the toughest things. And it's not like, you know, someone's like in an office all day. Like they're dealing with like roaming halls and kids coming into their office all day and teachers that need them and parents calling them. And so I do think that just like getting through is one of the bigger challenges. You know, because they just are inundated with so many things every day that it kind of very often feels like if it's not a fire in my face, I don't have time for it. You know, and this is something that like isn't outside of like that minute of fire in the face, but like efficiency isn't going to solve the fire that results from the chaos that might come with this period that minute. It will solve it once they bring us on in 3 weeks or whatever. But what is interesting about kind of your question that you alluded to with like where things are going. So this time is being thought of like as a 25 to 30, 40 minute period in the day, more commonly, like I mentioned, but not many schools have yet gotten to the point where they're thinking about like being flexible and more personalized learning and changing the way we think about time more broadly. A lot of schools are thinking about it, but not doing it yet. But we have a school in Colorado right now that is bringing us on to basically schedule, at least eventually, they're scaffolding into it now, but like we will be flexibly scheduling every minute of their day in the near future. And so basically kids will have some predictability like throughout the week with like, you know, maybe where they go when, but for the vast majority, like it is going to be like intensive responsive scheduling where kids are going to spend the vast majority of their day based on like what they think they need and their teachers think they need in dynamically, you know, changing groups. And so that's we're really awesome. Excited to like partner with that school in Denver Public Schools to think about that. Cause it's challenging. It's like a total paradigm shift for teachers and schools to do something like that. And it's scary and parents don't understand it. Or, I mean, a lot of people are excited, but a lot of people are also like, but wait, what? And they just don't understand it. So it's tough, but you're seeing more and more people interested in going that way. And I think technology and COVID, for better or worse, is making people rethink what, you know, time and personalized learning and education might look like in the future.
That's really cool. Like, I mean, what a perfect like opportunity for you guys with Colorado. I mean, like, to be able to basically test out this model, and if it works, I mean, gosh, that'll be incredible. Well, awesome. We're getting close on time here. So we always end with one question. I'm sure you're expecting it, but you know, the question is always, you know, what can the community do for you? And actually, let me check. What can the community do for you, James?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think that, you know, if you know of people in the education space, especially, you know, people that work in middle schools or high schools, if you want to just let them know about us and or, you know, connect them with us, if they're interested in kind of thinking about the way time is used to support their kids or how to better, you know, support their kids, and whether that's, you know, kids that are struggling or kids that just need more of something, whether even if it's like going into interests of their own, you know, during the school day, so they're more excited to come to school. You know, we'd love to talk to them. We do have a pretty big presence between kind of like Oshkosh, New London to the Green Bay area. Like, we are, you know, in a lot of schools in the area, but there's always more in the area that likely still don't know about us yet. And so if you know of anyone in that way, or if you just have any feedback on anything that I shared today, I would always be more than excited to get that too. So I'd say those are probably the two things that, you know, anyone on this call or the community at large could help us with. So thanks for asking.
Awesome. Just good to know James too. He's a great guy. We're lucky to have him in the area. And I know he didn't mention some of this, but he does a couple other like community driven groups and stuff too. Tell him about the Facebook group that I joined, because I've thought that's been really cool. And just really quick, because I know it's not really efficiency related, but no, it's pretty neat, and I hadn't heard of it before.
The Buy Nothing group, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So I and another person, Sarah, that lives here in Appleton, we started a group for at least Appleton proper north of Fox River. So I don't know if everyone on here lives in that zone, but now there's one in Nina, one to start in Kakana. We're trying to get more in the area started as well. But it's basically a group that tries to think about people within a community using technology like Facebook to, you know, get to know each other. So build a sense of community through the idea of minimizing our, you know, spending money and like buying more things when likely we all have things. And, you know, whether that's like a physical thing or even knowledge or time to give to each other. And so it's a place where if you have, you know, something that you don't necessarily need anymore, and but you think someone might be able to use, instead of just taking it to donate somewhere randomly and hoping someone uses it, which we know like 80% of what you donate ends up like going off to a landfill anyway, eventually, you can find someone in your community that maybe could use it. So there's things, you know, like computers that people don't need, like so big ticket items or like big rugs or things, all the way down to like an opened gallon of milk that you decide you won't be able to finish in time and maybe someone else might be open to using. So like as big or as small, you know, or actually just yesterday we had someone offer the gift of time to teach people how to wrap presents because they have like a fun, interesting way and people were interested in it. So literally could be anything, but it's just a fun way to kind of get to know people in your community. And, you know, encourage like sharing from our own abundance rather than, you know, having people spend money, and contribute to waste, which I think is something we all do more than we might want to do.
Yeah. So I'm part of the Appleton or the North James's group, and, it's been really cool to see what people are offering, and, you know, there's like some really cool connections happening, And like, I think how you sold it to me the first time when we met, it was, you know, not only are you maybe can score something that you now don't have to buy, and that you can give to other people and see people enjoy things that you have, but it also connects you with neighbors. I mean, you know, you get to know people in one of the best ways possible, helping people out, right?
Yeah.
So it's really quite cool. And I encourage everyone to check it out if you're in the North Appleton area or see if there's a group near you. But thanks again to James for at least sharing it with me and bringing it to the area, being one of the founders of that. So I can encourage everyone in here, get to know James. He's a cool guy, and hope to have him in the area. But we're lucky to have everyone in the call today. And thanks for joining us for 1 Million Cups Appleton. We need companies. So if you know someone, or if you have a business yourself, and you are willing to present, we'd love to have you. And please go to the website, 1millioncups.com/Appleton, sign up to present. But we're actively looking for more presenters. So please don't be shy. It's a great group. We're, with the exception of Eric, I'm just kidding. Everyone, including Eric, are all great people, and we just love connecting every Wednesday. So thanks so much, guys. Have a great rest of your week. Happy Wednesday, and we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, again. Have a good
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.